Welcome to another message from God's Holy Word. We're studying the Gospel of Mark from the original Greek text. We're using the Nestle-Aland text. There are many texts out there. I've studied textual criticism quite a little bit. And I want to say this in short about the Greek text. The Textus Receptus, which so many people that believe in the King James Bible accept, was a translation from the Latin Vulgate, not from Greek text. The Nestle-Aland text is a combination of all the Greek texts that they have found, thousands of them, and they studied the families of the text. And this is the most accurate, not translation, but compilation of the original text of the New Testament I believe there is in existence. That was just a moment to tell you a little bit about the Greek text. We're studying Matthew, Mark, the 11th chapter, and verse 12. We're going to talk about the cursing of the fig tree and what it actually stood for. Kai te eparonia. Kai te eparion. XL thonton, alton, apo, bethanias, epi anesen. And in the next day, having gone forth from Bethany, he hungered. Pinao means that he was having pains in his stomach. He was thirsty and hungry, both. Thirsty and hungry. Let me read this to you from the Amplified Bible here, verse number 12. On the day following, when he had come away from Bethany, he was very hungry. Very hungry. His stomach was hurting with hunger pains. 11 and verse 13 now. That's quite a long verse. Some of Mark's verses are very long, very short gospel and abbreviated gospel, you might say, but some of the verses are fairly long. Kai edon sikain apo makrothen akuson phula eltain a ara ti urise in alte kai elthon ep Altain, Udain, Hurain, Ame, Phila, Hogar Kairos, Uk, Ain, Sikon. And having seen the fig tree, by the way, that fig tree has something, the word there, fig tree, is something that is sweet. Something that's very sweet. Ripe figs are very sweet, sweet, and have energy in them. They're like grapes. And having fig tree from afar, having seen the fig tree from afar, and having leaves, he came. Since perhaps, now that word a there is first class conditional particle, since perhaps something he might find, he shall find in her. And having come upon her, nothing he found. Except leaves, for the time not, it kept on being a figs. Now, I'm going to tell you something about fig trees. Sometimes fig trees will have two or three crops on them in one year, and if a fig tree has leaves on it, there's something there usually. But now, this fig tree stood for more than just a fig tree. This fig tree stood for Israel. Israel was a barren fig tree. She had been nurtured by God for hundreds of years, thousands actually. And she was not producing any fruit at all. She did not produce fruit. She did not produce any fruit. And having seen the fig tree from afar, having leaves, he came. Since perhaps something he would find in her, and having come upon her, nothing he found except leaves, for the time not yet kept on being a fig. Let's read this in the Amplified now, verse number 13. And seeing in the distance a fig tree covered with leaves, he went to see if he could find any fruit on it. Actually, it's her in the Greek. For the time as the leaves, but when he came to it, or to her, he found nothing but leaves, for the season had not yet come. Now he's going to say something very, very unusual. Kai apokrithes, epein aute, mekete, eis ton iona, ek si medes, karpon phagoi, kai akuson, hoi matete autu. And having answered, he said to her, he saw this. Now this to her here is standing for Israel in all reality. No longer unto this age, forever, out of you no one fruit to eat. And he kept on hearing the disciples of him. They kept on hearing this. His disciples kept on hearing. Say, what is it? This is unusual. He's talking to a tree. And he said to it, no longer, no one ever again shall eat fruit from you. And his disciples were listening to what he had said. Verse number 15. Now, here's the continuation of the curse of the fig tree. This is parabolic teaching. And now he's going to go on and he's going to tell Israel, starting with the high priest, that you are debunked. You are cursed. You shall no longer be my people. You shall no longer have the administration of my kingdom, because now the king had come to his king, to his kingdom. Kai erkontai eis Jerusalema. Kai eis elthon eis to iron ex auto ek balein tus kolontes kai tus agorozontas, ento iron, kai tas, trapezas, ton, kolebiston, kai tas, kathedros, ton, poluton, tas, peristeros, kater, repson. And they came for themselves unto Jerusalem, and having entered unto the temple area, this is the outside of the temple, not in the temple itself, where the showbread and the table and the candlesticks and all that were, or the Ark of the Covenant, which wasn't the real Ark of the Covenant, by the way. And he began to throw out the ones selling and the ones buying, and the temple area, and the tables. Now, this table here has four legs. And of the money changers, and the seats of the ones selling, and the doves, the pigeons, and having been thrown out, and turned over, and turned loose. 15. Let's go back and read that in the Amplified. And they came to Jerusalem, and he went into the temple area and the porches and the courts, and began to drive out those who sold and bought in the temple area. And he overturned the four-footed tables of the money changers and the seats of those who dwelt in doves, those selling doves. The ones selling doves. Now he goes in there and he says, what you're doing here is wrong. The money changers, by the way, the money changers. The Jews had decided to make a little money. And when people would come from far lands, they would bring sheep or doves or what with them, and what else with them to make sacrifices, and the priests were predictably going to say, oh, it's not clean, you're going to have to sell this, and then your money's no good because it comes from other place, and only our money will. So they had to change their money for the temple money, and then they had to buy doves, they had to buy cattle, they had to buy sheep and goats, whatever they were going to offer, they had to buy it from them. It would be certified. By the way, in Bethlehem, down below Bethlehem, when Jesus was being born or born there, there were shepherds, and they heard the angel sing. These shepherds there were the ones that guarded the sacrificial lambs. And they bring those sacrificial lambs into Jerusalem. They would sell them in this area right here. They would take them before they got in there, and they would go out into the baptismal fonts, and they would wash and dip the sheep to cleanse them, then bring them in there, and they would be certified, and they would sell these animals and the doves for a great profit. And so all this is profiteering. In Israel today, God is not God. God to Israel is a what we call a national asset. A national asset. And they look upon, we're God's people, we are God's people, we have the covenant of God, we have the blessings of God. We have all this without actually being changed inside. Their hearts are wicked. And the wickedness of these people's hearts, Jesus could see very, very easily and well. And they were nothing but profiteers. And they turned his house, Jesus' house, his temple area, into a den of thieves and robbers. And now he is taking the reins of the kingdom from the Jewish nation, and he's holding the reins himself. And he braided whips, or cords together, and made a whip, and ran these people out. And when he did that, he was saying to the high priest, you are debunked, you are out. And then we'll see what the high priest, the Levites, and the priest, and the Pharisees, want to do about what he had done here. 15. He overturned the four-footed tables of the money changers and the seats of those who dealt in doves. Dealing in doves. 16. Kai uk eifein hina tis dia nek ke skius dia tu irun. And not he kept on permitting. He did not allow any longer. And this is the imperfect tense. No longer he kept on allowing. He kept on running them out. That anyone should carry through a vessel or pot through the temple area. Get this stuff out of here. Clean my house up. This is my house. Let's read that 16 now. And he would not permit anyone to carry any household equipment through the temple enclosure, thus making the temple area a shortcut for a traffic lane to whatever they were doing. This is not a shortcut. This is God's house. Many people use the house of God for all type of trafficking. I remember a long time ago, a guy wanted to join the church. And he came to me and he said, I want to join your church and I'll tithe and everything else, but I want to be able to write on my business card, I want to put that fish on my business card. It'll get me a lot of business. That's trafficking. That's what you call profiteering in the name of God. Number 17, Kai edadoskein, Kai elegain, uk gegrapte, hote ho oikos, mu oikos, pros eskes, kleesete, pasen tois, eth nason, himes de pepoi kate, auton, spa lolion, leston. And he kept on teaching. He was teaching them. Now he said, you heard what the wrong thing is. Let me tell you what the right thing is. A lot of people are preaching today, tonight, in churches that are not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that God's Son really came into the world to save sinners. He came into the world a perfect person, born of a virgin, where he had no Adamic nature in him. He lived a perfect life, not for himself, but for you and for me. He did all of this to show us religion isn't all there is to it. It's a personal relationship between you and God. It's not profiteering. It's not what we call merchandising. Many of God's houses are merchandising firms. They're big business. And he kept on teaching and he kept on saying, not it has been written. Has it been written that the house of me, the house of prayer, and it shall be called for all the nations? You're supposed to be witnessing this in all the nations of the world. But you're sitting here with your high, stiff collars and saying, look at me and look how I dress. I'm holy, I'm holy, I'm holy, and you're not. And Jesus is telling all of them that you are not holy. That they were undone. Moreover, ye have made it, the house, masculine gender, a den of robbers. A den of robbers. In Indian territory at one time, Oklahoma, in what they call the nations, the Indian nations, all the robbers would go there. And they'd hang out in dens all through there. And they would be in caves or some shanties in that area. And this is what we called the nations or the Indian territory. It was wide open to the robbers. And Jesus is saying here, you have made my house a nation of robbers. Now let's look and see what it says here. Kai ekousan hoi akeries kai hoi grammates kai zeton pos auton apolisusen ephobonte kai auton pas gar ho oklos ek pele sato epi te didaske auto. And they heard, these rascals heard Jesus as he was denouncing them. And they heard the chief priest, the high priest, and the scribes. These are the county clerks. These are the guys that they got paid for writing every little... The temple was a place of worship and everything. And these scribes had made every synagogue. Now, the synagogues were started off in the Babylonian captivity. You had to have 10 people to be in the synagogue. But they had made their little miniature temple area synagogues, a house of commerce. Everybody that wanted to get married, everybody that wanted to sell a pot or a jar or a cow or a sheep or whatever they had to go there and get a certificate from the county clerk. So now each and every synagogue had become a house of merchandise, profiteering. Anybody that wanted to trade one thing for another, you had to go down and get a certificate by the scribes. And they kept on seeking how him they might destroy. That really means to tear to smithereens. And they kept on fearing him. For all the crowd, oh close, now that's 5,000 to 10,000 people. The crowd kept on being astonished at his words and at his teaching. Let's read the last two verses here in the Amplified. Let's go back to verse 16. And he would not permit anyone to carry any household equipment through the temple enclosure as a shortcut, a traffic lane. And he taught and said to them, Is it not written that my house should be called a house of prayer for all the nations? But you have turned it into a den of robbers. at Isaiah 56 and verse 7 and Jeremiah 7 and verse 11. This quotes from that. And the chief priests and the scribes heard of this, and they kept on seeking some way to destroy him, for they feared him, because the entire multitude was struck with astonishment as his teaching. This is what happens even today. People hear the gospel. Maybe you've heard the gospel tonight for the first time in your life. How are you going to, accept it or reject it? There are many atheists out there in the world today, and sometimes when I talk to atheists, and I was an atheist one time, my stepfather, Dale Remling, tried to make me into an atheist. I studied the Bible, and the more I studied about the Bible, I studied science, I studied medicine, I studied history, archaeology, studied Greek and Hebrew. The more I found that there was a God, and he's real. There is a God, and he's real. Not only that, but I got more convicted all the time that God wanted me to preach his word. And so I did that. I wrote a letter to my stepfather and I said, Dad, I said, I think God wants me to preach. And he said, well, if you're going to preach, you better learn Greek and Hebrew. And he figured that would slow me down. Just throw my idea. He said, because the Bible wasn't written in English, which it wasn't. It's been translated in all those languages all over the world. But the original Bible is what we just read tonight. This is the inspired word of God. Many atheists, I think in my mind, what are you doing or what have you done that is so wicked that you do not want to believe in God? Now, these people here were practicing atheists. They were religious. They said, and they absolutely coveted God's blessing. If you were poor, God was against you. If you're rich, then God, you were doing what God wants you to do. I'm going to tell you something. In America, we live in America today. I do. My family does. And many of the richest men in America did not get rich by being honest, nor that God was blessing them. They did it by cheating and stealing and corruption. There in the Bakersfield area, I suffered from the corruption of the politics of that city for many years. We had a lot of assets and land, but the corruption there would not allow us to do what we had needed to do with our land. We're still having problems with it. There's corruption all over. And here was the biggest corruption, the corruption in religion, the corruption in religion. This is it. Jesus exposed the corruption of this religious system that was debunked. Jesus took it back over, and he still has a hold of it today. And he called out his little church to replace this bunch of thieves and robbers. And he said, I'll be calling out my church, and the gates of hell shall not be able to prevail against her. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, he says, after they've been cast out into the world, told them to make disciples, baptize those disciples, teach them all things that I've taught you to guard with their lives, and lo, I'll be with you unto the end of the age. And here we are nearly at the end of the church age now. The Lord didn't need to start new churches. Joseph didn't need to do it. Muhammad didn't need to start his bunch. Catholicism didn't need to start their bunch. There didn't need to be any new churches. Jesus already had one. What we need to do is go back to the Word of God and preach the Bible. Preach the Word of God. The Word of God will take care of people. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word tonight. Forgive us where we failed you. Forgive me where I failed you. Send this message out today. I pray that people will hear it and that people will be convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. And that they will come upon their knees to you and ask you to save their souls and forgive them of their sins because of what Jesus has done, believing in his death, burial, and resurrection. In Jesus' name I pray. For thy sake I ask him. Amen.